Welcome to Cosmetology School Accounting, a mini podcast series where we dive into key financial topics for cosmetology schools in just a few minutes. This mini cast is designed to give you valuable insight in a quick, easily digestible format, perfect for the busy professional. So sit back and enjoy the show. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Cosmetology School Accounting Podcast. Today, we're going to be diving into a topic that often confuses school owners and administrators. And not only that, it also confuses other business owners. We're talking about 1099s. Now, whether you are new to the world of independent contractors or you just want a refresher on what the IRS expects of you, this episode is going to provide you with all the details that you need to stay compliant and also to avoid costly mistakes, because making mistakes with 1099s can be very costly. So today we're going to be covering what is a 1099, who gets a 1099, when to provide a vendor with a 1099, why provide vendors with 1099s, okay? Also, we'll be talking about the consequences of not providing a 1099 to your vendor. What are the best practices for managing 1099s, especially during this busy time, tax season? We'll also be talking about common misconceptions about 1099s. We'll talk about tips for a smooth 1099 process. And then we'll also go over a few real-life scenarios. Okay, so let's start out with what is a 1099? So, a 1099 basically is an IRS tax form that's used to report payments made to non-employees for services provided during the year. Now, this is especially relevant if you are a cosmetology school that works with independent contractors, or if you work with a lot of freelance educators, or if you have guest speakers that come in. And also, if you work with other service providers who are not necessarily on payroll. Now, today, we're not going to be talking about who should be an employee and who should be a contractor, because that is a whole different episode. So we're not going to be talking about whether or not you have properly classified a worker. We're just going to talk about if a worker has been classified or is classified as an independent contractor, what you need to know about 1099s and providing that vendor with a 1099. Now, the most commonly used form is the 1099 NEC. Now, the NEC stands for Non-Employee Compensation, which replaced the 1099 MISC, which stands for 1099 Miscellaneous, for reporting non-employee payments. If you can remember, back a few years ago, we used to have to provide vendors with the 1099 MISC, which is a miscellaneous, but once again, that has now been replaced with the 1099 NEC. Okay, so let's talk about who gets a 1099. Well, here's a simple way to determine who should receive a 1099. Once again, we're not talking about whether or not they're properly classified, but just based on the IRS's requirements, this is what is expected. So, independent contractors, anyone you have paid $600 or more for services during a calendar year. This includes whether or not they're guest instructors, if they're freelance marketers, if it's IT support, even if they provided services such as janitorial services that were not provided by an actual individual who is on payroll. They all will get a 1099 NEC. Secondly, any unincorporated vendors will also receive a 1099. Now, most vendors operating as sole proprietors or partnerships, they qualify for, of course, receiving a 1099. So you generally don't issue a 1099 to a corporation, except if it's a law firm. In that case, there is an exception to the rule. So if you're working with a company that is an S corporation or a C corporation, then you know that you're not required to provide them with a 1099. However, if it's an S corporation or a C corporation, but they are a law firm, you are then required to provide them with a 1099. Also, rent payments. So if your school rents a space from an unincorporated landlord, they are also subject to receiving 1099s. However, the exception to that is if you are paying a management company. So if you're paying a management company in lieu of paying the actual owner of the building, then you are not required to provide the management company with a 1099 NEC because, or rather a 1099 miscellaneous, because they are the ones that are going to be responsible for providing the landlord with a 1099. Now, if you are paying an individual who also owns the building and that person is unincorporated, then yes, you are required to provide them with a 1099 miscellaneous. Now, remember that payments for goods such as, let's say, supplies and equipment, they're not subject to 1099 reporting, okay? The form, this form is strictly for people who are providing services, all right? Now, one thing I do want to say is, in order for you to know whether or not a person or a business that you're working with is an S corporation or a C corporation, you're going to have to provide them with a W-9. Okay, so when they fill out the W-9, they're going to tick the box that's going to say either S corporation or C corporation or whatever other entity type that they are. That is how you know whether or not you're required to provide them with a 1099. Don't let them just tell you that they're a corporation, because God forbid something should happen and you get audited by the IRS, come to find out that you were supposed to provide them with a 1099, but you didn't. That's on you. You're the one that's going to get into trouble. You're the one that's going to be fined and penalized. Now, if that person filled out the W-9 and they ticked the box that said they are a corporation, but they weren't a corporation, maybe they accidentally ticked the box, therefore you did not provide them with a 1099, that's okay, because you have proof stating that you provided them with a W-9, they ticked the box that said they were a corporation, therefore anything after that is their problem, right? So that's why it's important to actually give people the W-9 to complete and not just, you know, let them tell you what they are. Okay, so when do you provide vendors with a 1099? So now we're talking about the timeline of when you're required to provide a vendor with a 1099. Okay, so the deadline for providing 1099s to your vendor is January 31st of every year. It doesn't change every year. It's January 31st. Now, you must also file these forms with the IRS by the same date. So in other words, you are required to provide your vendor with a 1099 by January 31st. And at the same time, you're required to file that 1099 with the IRS. Now, this deadline is non-negotiable. It is absolutely non-negotiable. And late filings can result in penalties, which can get very expensive. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that you start preparing early by collecting W-9 forms from your contractors and your vendors throughout the year to ensure that you have all of the necessary information on hand, such as their legal name or their business name, okay, their tax identification number, the business type, whether it's a sole proprietor, a partnership, etc., and their address. Now, having this information ready in advance makes the 1099 process much smoother, and it reduces stress during tax season. Another reason why it's good to have to make sure that you provide the W-9s throughout the year is because if you wait to the end of the year to provide your vendor with a W-9, let's assume that they decide that they don't want to report the income, right? So they may refuse to fill out the W-9. At that point, you've already paid them. So it's always best to get this W-9 to them before you actually start paying them. That way they complete it, okay? Now, why provide vendors with a 1099? So what is the reason for providing vendors with a 1099? Now, filing 1099s isn't just a courtesy, right? It's a legal obligation. You are legally required to provide vendors with 1099s. So the IRS normally uses these forms to track income for non-employees and also to ensure that everyone pays taxes. So by filing this 1099, you're really helping maintain transparency and avoiding scrutiny on your end from the IRS. And you're also helping to avoid the possibilities that vendors are not paying their taxes. So for example, if you have payroll and you have employees on payroll, every week or every other week, you provide them with a payroll check. Normally, you're working through a third-party payroll company like maybe Gusto or ADP. So Gusto and ADP, or any or whoever you're using for payroll, they provide the IRS with a W-2 on behalf of all of the employees. So therefore, the IRS is very aware how much each employee made. If nobody provides the IRS with a 1099 showing how much a vendor made, then they have no idea that this particular vendor or business made a certain amount of money or made money, period, let alone how much. So that is the reason why the IRS is very particular and they take it very seriously when a business does not fulfill their obligation of providing vendors with 1099s and also reporting those 1099s to the IRS as well. All right, so for vendors receiving a 1099 ensures that they have accurate records for their own tax filings, okay? That's why it's important that you provide them with a 1099. That way there is no discrepancy between what they think they got paid and what they actually got paid. Now, failing to provide a 1099 can lead to confusion, or it can lead to disputes about payment amounts, you know, which could sour your professional relationship. And how this happens, because I see this a lot, where you're maintaining your books and during the year, you're paying these vendors and you may not be including their names beside the payments, let's say in QuickBooks. So let's just say that in some instances, you add their name to the payment, in some instances, you don't. Which means that if you paid a vendor, let's say $100,000, but out of that $100,000, you only applied their name to say $45,000. Well, in that case, if you're not keeping proper records, then you're going to give them a 1099 for $45,000. In all actuality, you pay them $100,000. Now, the reverse is the case, which is even worse, where if you are using the wrong name for a vendor because you're not keeping proper records, there's a possibility that you could provide them with a 1099 showing that they made $100,000, but in all actuality, you only pay them $45,000. So it's very important that you keep good records, because you don't want that to happen, because it just makes you as a business owner come across as being either careless or somewhat incompetent. You know, people get really funny when you mess with their money, right? So anyway. All right, so another key reason to file the 1099 is to, as I said earlier, is to ensure, of course, accurate deductions on your school's taxes as well, right? So without these forms, certain payments might not be properly documented, which could affect your ability to claim a deduction, which is important. You want to make sure you're getting all the deductions that you are entitled to, because you don't want to pay more in taxes than you have to. Okay, so now, what are the consequences of not providing a 1099 to a vendor? So non-compliance with a 1099 requirement can have serious repercussions for your cosmetology school, including, but not limited to, IRS penalties. So late or missing 1099s can result in fines ranging from $50 to $280 per form, which can get quite expensive if you have several vendors that you pay. Now, depending on how late the form is, that is how the amount of penalty that you have to pay is determined. Now, if you intentionally disregard the requirements to file, the penalties can be much, much higher. Okay, another consequence of not filing is audit risks. Okay, so failing to report payments properly can trigger an IRS audit. Trust me, believe you me when I tell you, it can trigger an IRS audit, leading to additional scrutiny of your school's financial records. And meaning, once they come in for one thing, they just start digging for other stuff, because they feel as though if you missed this one thing, what else could possibly be missing? So you want to avoid the IRS coming anywhere near your books if you can, all right? Another consequence is contractor issues. So contractors may report income to the IRS independently, right? Creating a discrepancy. So if you don't file the corresponding 1099, so if the contractor reports that they made $100,000 from XYZ school, but then the IRS doesn't have a 1099 from XYZ school showing that they paid this contractor $100,000, that is another red flag. And that could also cause, once again, an audit for non-compliance. And then finally, I would say, you know, reputational damage, like not following proper tax protocols could harm your school's reputation, making it harder to attract quality contractors in the future. All right, so best practices for managing 1099s. Okay, so what are the best practices for managing to 1099s to make sure that you remain compliant, to make sure that you are providing your contractor with accurate information, to make sure that you're maintaining accurate information within your books, so that way you are deducting, making sure you're getting, receiving all of your deductions. All right, so let's start with number one, which is collecting W-9 forms upfront. So before paying any vendors or contractors, request a completed W-9 form. This is going to save you from scrambling for information during tax season, because things are already crazy enough during tax season. The last thing you want to do is run around trying to get a vendor to complete a W-9. Okay. Number two is using accounting software. So let's say you use tools like either Xero or QuickBooks Online. They can help track payments and generate 1099s automatically, which simplifies the entire process. Thirdly, you want to review vendor payments regularly. So periodically, I can't say the word. You want to review your books to identify payments that may require 1099 reporting. So staying on top of these of this ensures nothing slipping through the cracks. So that way, by the time you get to the end of the year, you have already spent the better part of the year checking and reconciling vendor payments, making sure that what you say you paid a vendor is actually what you paid the vendor. Another best practice is to stay organized, right? So you want to maintain clear records of all payments, all invoices, all contracts with vendors. And then you want to make sure that that you document this, because this documentation is invaluable if the IRS ever questions your filings. If they ever question your filings and you have clear documentation of everything related to that payment, it makes life so much easier. And the only way to do that is for you to stay organized. Next thing is you want to work with a CPA. So if you're unsure about your 1099 obligations, consult your certified public accountant, CPA for short, and they can help guide you through the process and ensure that you are being compliant. Okay, now let's talk about a few misconceptions about 1099s. Okay, so one would be, I only pay them once, so no 1099 is needed. Okay, that's inaccurate. So the frequency of payment doesn't matter. If the total for the year exceeds $600, you're required to file. So it's not about how many times you pay them, it's about how much you pay them. Another misconception is, they said that they are responsible for their own taxes, so I don't need to file a 1099. Well, true, they are responsible for their own taxes, but you are still required to file a 1099 because the IRS says so. Okay, so even if the contractors manage their own taxes, you're still obligated to report their income to the IRS. Another misconception is, I paid them via PayPal or credit card, so I need to file a 1099. Okay, so payments that are made through a third-party platform like PayPal or like credit cards, they are excluded from 1099 reporting. Now, the payment processor handles this separately, usually by providing them with a 1099-K. So let's say, for example, you hire me as your accountant and you pay me using a credit card for the entire year. You're not required to provide me with a 1099 because the credit card company that received the payment, they are the ones that are going to provide me with a 1099-K. Okay, so you're off the hook under those circumstances. So let's talk about tips for a smooth 1099 process. Now, of course, you want to plan ahead. Okay, so don't wait until January to start preparing 1099s. Okay, review your vendor payments regularly and flag those who may require reporting. So you want to make sure that you have that as part of your system, okay, to make sure that you are constantly on top of the 1099 requirements. So that way, at the end of the year, all you're having to do is put the data together and not start from scratch trying to figure out who you're supposed to pay and who you're not supposed to, or rather, who you're supposed to provide a 1099 and who you're not required to give a 1099 to. You want to educate your staff. So if others on your team handle payments, you want to ensure that they understand the 1099 requirements. And if they don't, you want to make sure that you're providing proper training, because this can help to prevent mistakes. You want to leverage technology. Okay, so many accounting software platforms often feature, features automation, 1099 tracking and filing. This can save time and reduce errors big time. Finally, you want to verify information early. So you want to cross-check your W-9 details with the information that you recorded to avoid discrepancies, okay? So incorrect information can lead to rejected filings. So if you provide incorrect information and you submit it to the IRS electronically, it can be rejected if the information is inaccurate. So let's talk about three life scenarios, right? So let's consider a couple of scenarios just to illustrate the importance of the 1099 compliance. So number one, the guest instructor. Let's say your school hires a guest stylist to teach a workshop, and then you pay them $1,000. Now, if you don't issue a 1099 NEC, the IRS may question why this expense wasn't reported. Additionally, the instructor may misreport their income, leading to further complications. Okay. Number two, the IT consultant. Let's say you pay an independent contractor $700 to upgrade your school's computer systems. Without a 1099, you risk penalties for non-compliance, and you could miss out on properly deducting these business expenses. Finally, the property manager. Let's say your school rents a building from an unincorporated landlord, and you pay that landlord $1,200 in rent for the year. Failing to file a 1099 miscellaneous MISC for the rent payment could result in significant fines. Now, keep in mind, we've been talking about the 1099 NEC this entire time. So the 1099 NEC is normally for you're giving it to vendors who provided a service. When it comes to rent, giving out or providing your landlord with a 1099 for the purposes of rent, you're going to be giving them the 1099 miscellaneous, 1099 MISC, and you'll be filling out box one. Okay, so once again, as I mentioned earlier, the only time that you're not going to be required to provide a landlord with a 1099 miscellaneous is if you are paying it to a property manager rather than paying it directly to the landlord. Okay, so final thoughts. So I would say that understanding and managing 1099s, it might seem overwhelming, but staying organized and proactive can make the process much more painless. Okay, so as cosmetology school owners or administrators, your focus should be on education and growing your business and not worrying about, whether the IRS is going to penalize you for ABC or for whatever, right? So by following these best practices outlined in this episode, you're going to ensure compliance, protect your school from unnecessary risks, and maintain strong relationships with your contractors and your vendors. Okay, so thanks a lot for tuning in to this episode of Cosmetology School Accounting Podcast. If you found this information helpful, share it with other school owners who could benefit from it. And don't forget to subscribe for more insights on accounting, taxes, and financial success in the cosmetology world. If you have questions about 1099s or other accounting topics, please feel free to reach out to me and I'll address them in a future episode. Until then, keep the books balanced and those dreams big. Have a nice day. Thank you for tuning in to Cosmetology School Accounting. We hope today's insight helped you navigate your financial journey with confidence. If you found value in this episode, please share it with your colleagues and leave us a review. For more resources and updates, follow us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Profit and Beauty, and visit our website at AndersonAccounting3.com. You can find all these links in the show notes. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll explore more topics tailored to the accounting needs of cosmetology schools. Until then, keep thriving in your financial endeavors.